Morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome those of you who are visiting with us here this morning, to encourage you to come back this evening. You know, when we have our monthly singings, and I tell you, that's something that I look forward to. I've always been amazed at people who could lead singing the way that many of our song leaders here do. And it's always a blessing to me to be able to come and to participate in a service like that. And I hope you feel the same way, and that you'll make every effort to be out this evening as we gather together in order to worship God in song. In the text that Michael read just a moment ago from the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, it is one of several places in the Bible where the unnamed Pharaoh of Egypt is mentioned. Now, I say that he is unnamed. A lot of people seem to think that Pharaoh, that was his name. That's not the case. That's just simply a title, much like the title of king or of czar or of shah, something of that nature. But we don't know who this Pharaoh was. He is arguably one of the most interesting characters in all the Bible. Some people argue that he was Ramesses the First or Ramesses the Second. I don't know. Some say he was Seti the First. And again, we aren't told who he was. But what we are told and what we do know about him is that he was one who destroyed himself when he led his army into the Red Sea in pursuit of the escaping Hebrews and was drowned. Actually, when we read about this in the Bible, we know that he died because he was rebellious, because he was stubborn, and because he had a hardened heart. These drove him to rebel against the Lord and drove him into destruction. Now, according to Paul in our text in Romans chapter 9, God used this stubborn man to demonstrate to the world his power, that is God's power, as well as God's mercy. Now, when we think about the Pharaoh and his rebellion and his subsequent drowning, you and I may conclude, you know, I'd never make the decisions that he made. You and I might conclude that we would never allow our hearts to become so hardened, so calloused, so rebellious against the will of God, that we would destroy both ourselves, our family, and perhaps even many others, our nation. I would never do that. I would never make those decisions. I would never have that kind of attitude. But really, ladies and gentlemen, we need to think about that there are a lot of people who today continue to behave precisely like this man behaved. And the reason that I say that is because, well, in actuality, human nature has not changed. It doesn't make any difference if we're living in the 21st century. Things have not changed insofar as the human heart is concerned. Insofar as the human makeup goes, we are much the same with people who have lived in centuries before us. There are people today just as stubborn. There are people today just as rebellious as Pharaoh. There are people today who behave precisely like this man behaved. There are people who have the same kind of attitude that Pharaoh had. We read in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, when Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh in order to confront him and demand from him that he release God's people and allow them to go into the wilderness in order to worship God. We have Pharaoh's response. And he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. Nor," he said, "will I let Israel go." Now, what does that statement tell us? What is the import of a statement like that? You know, what he's saying is, I don't recognize the authority of God. I don't recognize the power of Jehovah. So when you come and tell me that God is demanding something of me, I don't recognize that, and I'm not going to do it. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, whenever something offends what one wishes to do, whenever something is told us that offends what we really want to do, we're likely to rear up and have the same kind of attitude that Pharaoh did. I don't know God. I don't know that. That doesn't mean anything to me. Whether it's an attack upon our lifestyles, whether it's an attack upon our habits, whether it's an attack upon whatever it is, maybe a belief system, we'll just simply have the same kind of attitude. You know, that is much like the response, who does God think He is? Asking me to do this, demanding this of me, who does God think He is? Now let me show you what this kind of attitude will lead to. And we'll look at Pharaoh and see some of his behavior. This kind of attitude, who is God that I should obey His voice? I don't know the Lord. I don't recognize Him. Who does God think He is? It will enable us, ladies and gentlemen, just like Pharaoh, it will enable us to lie to God. Now I want you to think about that. I jumped to my second point. It will allow us to refuse to listen to God. Now notice, ladies and gentlemen, what Pharaoh said and what it allowed him not to do. Pharaoh said, I don't know the Lord that I should listen to Him. I'm not going to pay any attention to what He said. Now let me show you how this carried out. In chapter 7 of the book of Exodus, in chapter 7 and in verse 10, Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did just as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so that the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now listen, verse 12. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. If I have the attitude that I don't respect God's authority, then I'm not going to listen to God regardless of what He tells me to do. Now, Pharaoh was told by God, let my people go. Pharaoh said, I'm not going to do that. And he's not going to listen to them, and he did not listen to them. He did not pay any attention to what they had to say. You know what he'd rather do? He'd rather believe the lying magicians than God. They were able to somehow duplicate this miracle, and that had more of an impression upon him than what God said. You know, sort of reminds me of this deal that's kind of going around now. Maybe you've heard about it, this special that's coming out on the Discovery Channel. Supposedly, according to James Cameron, supposedly the tomb of Jesus has been unearthed in Israel. And it proves, according to this man, that Jesus was not raised from the dead. While we have the burial boxes there. We have the bones, supposedly, of Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, of his wife, and of his son, Jude. And you know what? I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are people lining up by the droves to believe such foolishness as that. There are people who are going to swallow that hook, line, and sinker just like they did the dopey Da Vinci Code. They'd rather listen to what that man has to say rather than listen to God and listen to the witnesses who attest to the resurrection of Jesus. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 500 at one time saw the resurrected Lord. But you know, there are people who want to listen to that rather than listen to God. That sounds more authoritative than what God said, does it? But you know, any time that we want to attack what the Bible says, why, we can do that if we want to and be exactly like Pharaoh and just refuse to listen to God. But you know, that doesn't make that's not much different, you know, than somebody else. You know, you would say, well, J.R., I'm not going to believe what Cameron and some of them other people say about that. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, what about some of the other things the Bible says? You know, the Bible says not only that Jesus was raised from the dead, but the Bible says in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, that's what the Bible says. But there are people who would rather listen to somebody who says baptism doesn't have anything in the world to do with salvation. They're lining up to listen to people like that. Well, that's the same kind of attitude that Pharaoh had, and it is behaving in the 21st century precisely like Pharaoh behaved in the first century. Or in several centuries before the Lord. Exactly. Well, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's all the Bible has to say
not the only verse, but in substance that the Bible has to say about the music that God wants in honor and worship to Him. And yet, people would rather listen to what the perceived scholars have to say about it rather than listening to God. And rather listen to what this denomination says, or what this preacher says, or what this expert says, rather than listening to God. That's the same kind of attitude that Pharaoh had, and it's the same kind of behavior. And I could go on. But now let me just ask you. Are you behaving like Pharaoh? Are there certain things in this book that you have that you would like to take issue with? You know, when I hear about people saying, you know, I don't believe in spanking a child. Or I don't believe in the 21st century that a man ought to be the head of his house or a woman ought to be in subjection to her husband. When I hear people say, well, you know, I just don't, things are different. You know what they're telling me? They're telling me that I've got an issue with God. It's God who tells us how to discipline children. It's God who tells us about relationships. And when I can stand up and say, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm not going to listen to that, that's having the same attitude that Pharaoh had. It's behaving precisely like Pharaoh behaved. How do we behave like Pharaoh today? I go to something that I've started to mention just a moment ago. Pharaoh was a man because of the unwillingness to recognize the authority of God, who had no problem with lying to God. Why would you have a problem telling an untruth to someone that you didn't have any regard for or any respect for, and there was no integrity in your heart to begin with? Pharaoh absolutely had no respect for God. And so he could tell God the same things that he would tell what he knew to be worthless idols. He could tell God the same lie that he told the gods of Egypt that were represented by serpents and cattle and all of these other kinds of idolatrous images. He didn't have any problem. Let me show you what I mean by that. You know, plagues started coming upon Egypt, did they not? And every time that a plague came upon Egypt, it was God's way of saying to Pharaoh, you better loosen up here, Charlie, and let my people go. And so, on one occasion, we find in the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus, that after the plague of frogs, why, Pharaoh called for Moses. And Moses and Aaron went into him, and he said to them, in verse 8, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they sacrifice to the Lord. You know what he says? He said, I promise you, if your God will remove all of these frogs, and I'm going to tell you there are frogs everywhere. He said, if your God will remove all these frogs, I'll let the people go. That's a promise that he made. And a promise that he broke. Because verse 15 says, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, that is from the frogs, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. Well, you'd think he'd learn. More plagues came. And you get all the way in now to the seventh plague, the plague of hail, in chapter 9 of the book. And we find in verse 28 that again he says to Moses and Aaron, entreat the Lord that there be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Promise made, a promise broken. Verse 34, when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants, and he refused to let the people go. He said, you know, I give up. No more. No mas. No mas. No, I give up. You can go. And then he changed his mind. And he said, no, I didn't mean that after all. Even though God didn't mean anything to him, Pharaoh saw that he was in a pretty tight spot here. Frogs. Lice. Flies. Livestock dying, thundering and hail with fire.
coming upon the people, you know, something had to be done. So what he did is he made some empty promises to Moses. Hence he was making these empty promises to God in order to get through a very tough time. Jehovah, I'll release these slaves. Just as soon as you take these frogs out of here, just as soon as you stop this hail and this fire, I'll let the people go. Now, friends, let me tell you something. You know, we can ask, did he mean it when he said it? I don't know. Perhaps he did. Perhaps he was genuine. Perhaps he really believed in his heart, if this stops, I will let the Hebrews go. Or maybe he didn't mean it at all. Maybe he was just saying that to just get through a difficult time. Perhaps he had absolutely no intention of carrying it out. But regardless of what his intention was, he didn't follow through with his promise, and that is a lie that is made to God. And any promise that is made to God, whether sincere or not, that is not kept, is a lie. And it's behaving precisely like Pharaoh behaved during an illness. I may get on my knees and I may pray and beg God to please provide me with the healing of my body that He has the power to provide. And I may make some promises to God along these lines. God, if you do this, I promise you I will be faithful to you. I promise you I'll get in church and do the things that need to be done. I promise you I'll stop doing the things that I've done. And you know what? We just allow it to go on and on and on after God is good to us and provides us with relief. And we just break those promises time after time after time. You know, that's a lie that we've told to God. God, if you will allow this child to get well, I promise you that I'm going to raise him to know you, and he's going to be in Bible study every time that I can be there. And you know what? God allows the child to live, and we break that promise to God. We're behaving like Pharaoh. Conducting ourselves exactly like Pharaoh. Or maybe we say, you know, I intend to be a Christian one day. I intend to be baptized, and I intend to come into the church. I'm going to do this after I retire, after I get all these things settled down in my life, after I get all these things worked out, after I sell the house, after I this and after I that. And you know, we complete those things that we promised, and yet we refuse to obey the Lord. You know what we've done? We've lied to God and behaved exactly like Pharaoh. Or as a Christian. Let me tell you. Those of you, and I'm included in this, who have stood up and said what is referred to as the good confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you know what was involved in that? You were making some commitments and promises to God. You were promising to be faithful to Him. You were promising to listen to what He said. You were promising to have your life directed by His Word. And if that's not being done, then I have lied to God. If I could worship when when the doors are open and I refuse to do that because I'm interested in doing something else, I've told God a lie, because when I confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I promise loyalty. And I promise faithfulness. And I promised a loyalty and a faithfulness that would take precedence over any and everything else. And in that I may be conducting myself just like Pharaoh. What about our worship? What about the songs that we sometimes sing? Do we mean what we say? Do we just say empty words without any sincerity? Regardless of whether we mean it at the time or it's empty words, if we're not living up to what we're promising God in our songs, you know what we're doing? We're lying to God. Let me give you an illustration of this. And just note some songs that we sing. There's the song that we sometimes sing, "Oh, to be like thee." It's in our songbook. It has a line in there, "Gladly I'll forfeit all earth's treasures." Do I mean that when I say it?
Do I mean that when I sing it? Well, you know, when the collection plate is passed, do I give like I mean that, or do I just tip the Lord like I would a waiter down at the restaurant? Why? Do I mean it? Why? Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, except when it comes to my contribution. And then I'll just give a pittance, and I'll just ignore what the Lord did in giving His life, oh, to be like Thee. Do I mean that? I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about some serious things here, because otherwise I'm going to be behaving just like Pharaoh. Then we're saying, if Jesus goes with me, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere, wouldn't we? Well, we've got a neighbor living right next door to us that we've never gone and talked to about his soul. Oh, I'll go anywhere, Lord. Do I mean that? If you'll just go with me, Lord, I'll go anywhere, and I wouldn't set up a Bible study with somebody that's lost if my life depended on it, even though I told Jesus, if you'll go with me, I'll go anywhere. I better be careful. Why? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere, and I don't even want to participate in a group meeting. I've got other things that are more pressing and important than that. Oh, but I'll sing, if you'll go with me, I'll go anywhere. Then there's a song we sing, stand up for Jesus, that has the line in it, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, till every foe is vanquished. But yet I don't even have the courage to confront a friend who's doing something wrong or believing something wrong or saying something wrong. I just don't even have the courage to stand up. Or I might be too timid to speak out against a sin that somebody is involved in, because I just don't want to suffer the consequences of that. But I'll sing. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. And then there's the song, Take Time to Be Holy, that has a line in it, each thought and each motive beneath His control. Take time to be holy. I'll sing that on Sunday morning, and then Sunday night I'll sit in front of the computer and I'll scan the pornography and I'll see all of the filthy things that they have there, and I'm singing, I want to be holy like the Lord. I've lied. Told the Lord a lie. Heaven holds all to me. I sing, earth holds no treasures but perishes with using. And then I'm so wrapped up and enamored with materialism that I just mortgage and forfeit in order to have that which is bigger and that which is better and that which is shinier. You know, Pharaoh said, you know, Lord, I'll do such and such, but he didn't carry through with that. You know, he lied to the Lord. He had no qualms in that. He made promises he failed to keep. And those with little or no reverence for the Lord will behave like Pharaoh. And then finally we see that Pharaoh, because of the attitude that he had toward God, tries a little negotiating. Well, Lord, I know what you're saying, but I'll tell you what, let's meet in the middle on this. Let's have a consensus here. Well, I'll give a little, and you give a little, and I'll take a little, and you take a little. Don't be so rigid in this. And I'll tell you, when we have no respect and no reverence for the authority of God, rather than submit, rather than surrender, we'll be like old Pharaoh, and we'll try to reach a consensus. Let me show you some of the things that Pharaoh attempted to do when he tried to reach this consensus. In chapter 8 and in verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and he said, go sacrifice to your God. And that would be good if it just ended right there. He would have been capitulating. But he didn't do that. He added a little phrase. In the land. Now what God wanted them to leave Egypt so that they could worship Him. But now Pharaoh says, well, I'll let you worship God, only don't go that far. Just stay right around, you know, stay in the lane. Don't go too far away. Just stay right here. Stay in Egypt. But God said, I want you to leave. Pharaoh said, I don't want you. I want you to stay right here. How many of us have no problem with negotiating with God? And I don't mean the kind of negotiating that Abraham did. I'm talking about the kind of negotiating that Pharaoh did. For example, you know, I'll become a member of the church. I'll go to church and I'll be religious, but you know what? I'm going to do it while I continue to be in the world. I'm not going to completely leave the world. I'm going to keep my options open. I'll have one foot in the church and I'll have one foot in the world. This is what Pharaoh was offering. And if I want to try to worship God that way today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm behaving like Pharaoh. Well, you know what that saying is? I'll serve God and I'll serve mammon. What that says is I'll try to lay up treasure in heaven and I'll try to lay up treasure on earth. I'll be religious, but I'll be religious in the world. You're not going to be able to know any difference in me by just looking from somebody that's in the world. You can't do that. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon, Matthew 6 and verse 24. He's telling us that we cannot lay up treasures on earth as well as treasures in heaven and be pleasing to God, according to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. I've got to make a choice. There is no consensus here. Well, Pharaoh found that that didn't work, so a little while later, just down in verse 28, Pharaoh said, well, I'll let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God. And as a matter of fact, you can go into the wilderness. You can leave Egypt. He said, you shall not go very far away. Now you might want to just cross over and get out of Egypt, but you stay close enough that you can see the lights of Egypt. Stay close enough that you can hear the sounds, that you can smell the food, and that you can enjoy the pleasures. Don't go too far. In our vernacular today, that'd be saying like, you know, don't take this religion stuff too far. Don't become a fanatic. Don't become some sort of right-wing religious nut. Don't do that. Don't take this thing too far. You want to go to church? That's all right. And you want to believe in God and believe in Christ, that's all right. But don't become some sort of religious zealot. Don't become so fanatical in this. Yeah, you want to go to church, that's all right. You keep your smokes and you keep your beer and you keep your vices. Just don't take this thing too far. Well, see, that's what Pharaoh was trying to do. And it didn't work. And when you don't have a respect for God, you'll try to negotiate with God. And a lot of people continue to do that, despite the fact that Jesus said in Luke 14 and verse 33 that in order to be His disciples, I have to forsake all and come after Him, or I cannot be His disciple. Let me show you one more. One more negotiating ploy. This time over in chapter 10 and in verse 11. Pharaoh called to Moses. Or chapter 10 and verse 24 rather. But Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. You see, now, he made that ploy after what he said over in verse 11. When he said, well, you can go, but I don't want you to take your children with you. Leave your children here. But he said it didn't work that way. Moses told him, said, no, I can't do that. Can't leave the children behind. You know why Moses couldn't do that? He couldn't do that because of what's said in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Why that passage says you teach them diligently to your children. You can't leave your children behind. He couldn't leave the kids behind because of what's said in Psalms chapter 48 and verse 13. Mark well the bulwarks of Zion and tell it to the generation. Why can't leave the kids behind?
You know, sometimes we think Christianity's for older people. You know, I'll let the kids just kind of run foot loose and fancy free and let them get up to a certain age and make up their own minds. I'm not going to try to bend their will, and I'm not going to try to influence them. I can't do that. You know what that's doing? That's leaving the children. Moses said, I can't do this. I can't leave the kids behind. If I'm just half-heartedly serving the Lord, if I'm just kind of hitting and missing, and if I'm emphasizing the secular over the spiritual, you know what I'm doing? I'm leaving the children in Egypt. I'm setting a poor example for them. If the only Bible study the children are getting are what they get on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings, and I'm not conducting serious Bible studies at home, training my children in the way that they ought to be, I'm leaving them in Egypt. That's my responsibility as a parent. If I'm not willing to set boundaries and insist upon those boundaries being kept, I'm negotiating with God and leaving a child in Egypt. I can't do that. Moses said, I can't do this. So Pharaoh said, well, okay, take your kids with you. Just go on. You know, Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 15 that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. You know what he said? He said, Timothy, your mother didn't leave you in Egypt. And parents, we can't either. Pharaoh destroyed himself. He destroyed his family. And he destroyed his people. Because of his stubborn, hardened heart. Unwilling to yield and bend to the will of God. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's possible to follow his destruction. It's possible to follow the destructive example that he left. If we want to. If we choose to. One day, you and I are going to answer for every choice that we've made in this life. If it's one of rebellion, we're going to answer for that choice. If it's one of submission, then we'll certainly answer for that choice in a positive way. And believe it or not, this invitation that's being offered right now to invite you to become a Christian and be serious in your commitment to the Lord is one for which you will answer one day. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Him as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and be immersed in water, that's baptized, completely submerged, not sprinkling, not rubbing the forehead, it's completely submerged in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. You can become a Christian. And then be serious in your service to the Lord. Do not develop the attitudes that were evident in the life of Pharaoh. Don't refuse to listen to God. Don't make promises to Him that you haven't kept. And don't try to negotiate with Him. That's behaving like Pharaoh. You're subject to the invitation. As a Christian that needs to come home in repentance and prayer, now's the time for you to let it be known. Whatever your need, the Lord has the answer. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.